There is a new Episcopal church that is just on the horizon. It has been several years in the making, carefully thought out, foundations created, focus groups formed, communication and websites made, and invitations sent out. My friend and colleague Emily, a former coworker, is in the process of setting up this church plant. A church plant, in Episcopal and churchy language, is a new church that is created to serve a new geographic area or community, usually being sponsored by another larger established church to give it a place to meet and some financial backing to start off until it can make it on its own. And Emily is working on receiving donations from others to support this new kind of ministry, a new kind of church for the Bay Area. This church plant, called St. Lucy's, will be in the greater Berkeley area. Emily has felt called to create this church for several years now, a new kind of church that blends her experience as a former evangelical with their sense of community and down-to-earth ethos, but which holds some of the liturgy and politics and structure of the Episcopal Church, a place that is welcoming to all queer folks, especially those that have left the evangelical church. And people have asked her why, both why a new church and also why a church at all. In reply, she has offered this quote from the writer Debbie Thomas. "Because the hopes, hungers, losses, and loves that have brought people to their knees for two millennia are still alive and well. We are starving for coherence, for awe, for connection, for meaning. We are still hungry for spaces, rituals, and rhythms that will help us beat despair and recover wonder. We need questions worth pondering and truths worth trusting. We still need containers spacious enough to hold our pain." And this is where we find John the Baptist today. Why his words still ring true 2,000 years later. John the Baptist is trying to explain to this gathering of people who have come from all over in the cities, just on the edge of the River Jordan, on the edge of the wilderness, on the brink of the unknown. The gospel, he is telling them to prepare, to get ready, because something is coming, and it is right there, just on the horizon. The gospel last week tells us of John's words about preparation so that people can be ready for this new Messiah. And I have to remind myself that the church does this odd thing this time of year in Advent, this bending of chronological events. We have John preaching to the crowds today in anticipation of Jesus beginning his ministry as an adult. But next week and Christmas Eve, we'll go back 30 years, and we'll be watching Jesus born as the Christ child. But John today is emphasizing the need for change. The ways that we are used to, the rhythms that feel comfortable, the rituals that we have used before, they're no longer working. We need to change our behavior if we wish to see that change. And aside from John's viper remarks, which I could do without, I appreciate his practical approach of how to begin this change. It's very straightforward. Because sometimes change can feel very daunting. How do you enter the world in a new way? How do you see others with a new lens? How do you follow God with a fresh heart? John explains it very directly. One place to start is to change simple actions, everyday things that we do all the time. Share an extra coat that you own. Share the extra food that you might have. Share any kinds of additional things that you have and that others might need. And the second work he calls us to change is how we conduct ourselves in community. Maybe our actions are acceptable. You know, everyone does it. But are they creating space for others to thrive? Are they preparing the way for the kingdom of God? John tells us that we need to do more than just everyone does it that way. We are called to use a different measurement for our life in community. Not one that measures damage that we are committing or not committing, but rather, what changes are we making possible? How are we preparing the way for better things to happen? And John the Baptist explains to us why he is here, why he's living on the edge with one foot in the wilderness and one foot in civilization. He is baptizing people with water, a preparation for the rest of their lives. He is preparing people to encounter the holy with new eyes and an open heart. He is not John the prophet or John the redeemer, but rather John the baptizer. He is fulfilling his call to bring people into a new life, to prepare them for a new way of seeing the world. He is accompanying them across the water to see what lies on the other side. John the Baptist was destined for this work of baptism. He ended a 400 year of prophetic silence to the Jewish people. His birth was foretold and arrived with wondrous proclaim. His birth even harkened back to Abraham and Sarah, and his life would be set apart from the very beginning. He was a bridge between the prophets of old and the new prophecy yet to arrive. And these bridges that are given to us are gifts from God to assist us in moving into new ways, new routines, new rituals, and new journeys. My friend Emily explained to me that they named the new church St. Lucy because of her connection to light and sight. She is the patron saint of light and is celebrated on what was the shortest day of the year, December 13th, until we changed our calendars to the Gregorian calendars that we use now. Emily explained that one of the critical pieces of their church plant is to create a place that people are seen, especially people who are suffering the wounds from the evangelical church. Those that have been shunned or ostracized because they identify as LGBTQ folks. You see, Emily is one of those people who have their foot in the Episcopal Church and still a small part of her in the evangelical church where she grew up. She is one of those people who acts as a bridge to accompany people into new places that they are seen as whole people and loved for all that they are. So John the Baptist speaks of bridges, of changes to a different life. Emily is acting out this calling to invite people into a new place of being seen as their whole selves. St. Lucy, as the patron saint of light, is the bridge between the longest night of the year and that turn we make towards longer days. And all of these people point us to a truth, that we are called to see the world in new ways. We are being called by John to see others and offer them respect and dignity. We are being called to change, to prepare for a new way of life. The kingdom of God is coming, and we are bridges to this new way of living in a world where people are seen and heard with respect and dignity. And as Debbie Thomas reminds us, the church can be a place for coherence, for awe, for connection, for meaning. We are still hungry for spaces, rituals, and rhythms that will help us beat despair and recover wonder. Excuse me. And this is what the church can be, a balm for the world's